So then we'll do the announcements at the end. Preacher said they're going to reschedule the baby shower for this Sunday to a later date. They'll let you know that. Those that are getting those prepared. Miss Judy says, make sure you say that. I said, yes, ma'am, I'll do that. Yeah, do like the little dog in the back of the window. Yes, ma'am. Do everything Miss Judy says because she bakes my biscuits and get an apple pie every once in a while, some liver mush, scrambled eggs. Whoop! Amen. Yes. All right. Psalm 119, we'll look in the second segment there in verse number 9 for this evening. And the preacher has been started in the book of St. John. I have not been here to hear any of those. I'm getting them offline, so I'm enjoying them. So I appreciate our preacher. There's a lot of preaching out there today, but there's very little Bible studying. The saints of God are showing that in our dispensation of time in America. There's no solidness in a lot of churches. Preachers like to preach, and preaching's all right. I like to preach too. But there ought to be some meat given out for the saints of God to be able to take it and grow thereby in their own personal life. So I hope this here in Psalm 119 will be a help to you. I've studied this Psalm 119 for my own personal use as far as for me to help me in a hard time of my personal life. And it's awful good to we have an understanding where to go to. Some people, whenever they get in the hard times, they throw the Bible down and they go to something else. They'll go after somebody else's books and get these commentaries and get everything else besides getting in the Bible. And say the Word of God makes a difference. It sure knows how to clean up. Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans that the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, you can have hope. And we need that in the day and time we live, is the hope of eternal life, hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. That hope ain't maybe so. That's a no-so in my personal life. That's a Bible hope. It ain't this 21st century hope. It's something I know of, and so the Word of God gives that to us. In this little segment right here, I've titled it He is my preparation for life. And so I want to leave that thought with you this evening, hoping it'll be a help with you, that our lives, He's got it prepared. Most people don't realize that said in Jeremiah, He says, I've got good thoughts for you, towards you. He said, I got an expected end for you. He said, my thoughts are good. My expected end's good. He says, it's just for you. A lot of times God's children, they don't even seek God to find out what is God's preparation for this little body that we dwell in here. Paul said in Corinthians, says, what? Know you not that you're not your own? You've been bought with a price. He paid for me. I'm grateful that Christ paid my sin debt that I could have eternal life. Amen. I've never got over August 5th, 1975, 9 p.m. Father and Son, Holy Ghost moved in. I've never got over that. Amen. I'm so grateful for that. I've been thankful that God would save a sinner, come to where I was. I was sure wasn't going for Him. He came to where I was. And He wants to do that. He wants to guide all of our lives. I know we're the Wednesday night group, but there's some things that a lot of times God's children sit around, you ask them, what's the will of God for your life? And they just give you that shrug shoulder, just like you can ask the junior class back there, what's the will of God for your life? And, well, you adults are exactly the same way. Oh. God prepared us for something. It ain't just for heaven. That's coming in the by and by. My eye has not seen, nor has my ear heard, nor has even entered the heart of me what God's got laid up for me on the other side. But hey, I got something on this side. A prepared life that He's gave to me. And I'm glad that God knows how to do that for each one of us. In verse number 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips I have declared all thy judgments of thy mouth." I have, we're just talking about that, wasn't we, Brother E? "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and I have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this time that you've given. We're so grateful, our Father, for the precious word of God, dear Lord, a preserved word of God. Dear Father, I'm grateful, God, that you know how to keep it. And I thank you, our Father, Lord, we sit here tonight and as we've gathered in this room, dear Lord, the word of God is pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. And I pray, our Father, that, Lord, each one of your children would come to the place, dear Father, of loving the word of God, loving to hear the voice of God, loving to have a time with God, loving, dear Lord, that you have redeemed them, dear Lord. And as Brother Ed and I was talking, Lord, he's placed him first place in his life. Lord, you said there in Matthew, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us." Lord, I pray, Father, these words will be a help tonight. Dear Lord, help your people to do what they wish to have done when they stand before you in that day. Dear Lord, we shall be grateful to thank you and praise you for what you accomplished and do in our hearts. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. As we see in these passages of Scripture, he lays out a schedule down through here, saying, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word." This thing that God is our clarifier. Now think about this thing about making perfume and stuff of this nature. They know how to make it the best it can be. It's called clarifying. It is that process of purifying our oils, but it's also to purify us. God has a process. And God wants to make that in our lives us pure for His purpose, for His living our lives to be pleasing unto Him. The properties, the elements that is needed for the purifying is blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus, as we all know, was a payment for our sin. It is the one that washes from our sins. But I am grateful that Christ died for our sins and His blood was paid for us. But I'm thinking about this book that we hold in our hand tonight is the Word of God that does also is that purifier. Jesus said, "Now are you clean through the words which I've spoken unto you." I'm glad that them words that I heard that night that God nudged me in my soul and said that's what you're needing. That's what Christ had given to me was the Word of God as a man of God preached. As Brother Ernie Bartlett read them to me as he came by visiting my knocking on my door. I'm grateful for them times that the Word of God before I was saved had a work upon this little pile of mud after I got saved and at the time of my salvation. The Word of God did a work inside of me. The clarifying, it shows us where the elements in our life is wrong. And what God wants to do with our life is to purify us, to make us meet for the Master's use. First Peter says it this way, "Seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever." Jesus said this to the disciples, said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, when you have love one for another." Another, it makes that difference is if you love Christ and you love His book, that's going to purify you, that you'll love one another. I think there's a lot of saved people needs to get this love of God inside of us. But there's an element. I started to preach on the coloring book tonight, Miss Judy. I thought about this thing about forgiveness. It makes a difference in living our lives that there ought to be some forgiveness among the children of God. We want God to forgive us, but we live our lives sometimes with a bitter spirit on the inside. Amen or oh me. If there's the second lesson that we teach in the schoolhouse there, as far as on the category of the effectiveness, the one on forgiveness that we teach in the schoolhouse among lost kids has a great effect. And we use scripture in the schoolhouse. They don't know this Bible verses, but I'm saying here, God takes that and pricks the hearts of the sinners out there of those all around them among themselves that, hey, they need to have some forgiveness in their life. What about us as God's children? The clarification is that God wants to do in our lives is take the book and clarify us that we have a love one for another, forgiving one another in the spirit of meekness. Consider ourselves. This clarification is that God, through the blood of the Lord Jesus, through the blessed book that He's given to us, through the blessed Holy Ghost of God, 1 John said, has said there, and there are three that beareth witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. That is the Spirit of God, that God in heaven agreed that whenever He come and moved inside of us right here, it is one that pricks my soul. I say this many a time, when an error comes up there, there's a seem like a flag flies up in my soul. It's the sweet Holy Ghost of God mourning me on the inside. Something wrong with that boy. Back up. Go away. Turn around. It's time to leave. It's time to get away from whatever that the Spirit of God inside of us right there is that one that clarifies us, that helps us go down the laws of God and say, hey, that's wrong. That's wrong. You need to line up. It's just like we tell these young people today. It's that conscience down inside of us. That God gives us that spirit of consciousness out inside of us, that it's that first warning said, hey! But we raise our children to be like brats, but God don't raise brats. I'm not telling you again, I done told you 15 times! God ain't that way. God will say it, hold it! Oh, it ain't that bad. God, I got it. I can handle it. Next time God says, hold it. That's okay, Lord. I had it last time. I got it this time. I'll take care of it. You go on and do your thing, and God comes back. Hold it. The next time. That what God gives inside of us, that sweet Spirit of God, is that clarifier that's always on His job. He's that sentinel that stands on center, ready and accounted for. He's that one that stands alert upon every corner of our life. He's that one that's always watching and wanting to take care of God's possession. He moved in. He's that sentinel on this possession of God right here. And we ignore the signs of the Holy Ghost. That ain't speaking in tongues. Here is she, my tie, bow tie, Volkswagen, Honda, Cutter, Watermelon, Gagga Maggot. That's what they got around there. You've got to say all them trite words. But it's just this part that God and the blessed Spirit of God that lives inside of us is wanting to do that property of God to clarify our lives, to make our lives purify unto Him. Pure. John 15:3, now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. John 17:17, sanctify them through the truth, thy word is truth. The book of Ephesians chapter number 6 says, now are you washed through the water of the word. And that makes a difference in our life, but the word of God is that purifier in our life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. That is something that's an automatic thing with God. If you have salvation and you're continuing on in your sin and your worldly lifestyle, mark some things down. God's not 10,000 miles from you. God don't save in 15 different ways. God saves one way. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Them old things do pass away. I don't care, all my friends are saying, hey, come on, Hill to Red. Hey, we had the party time down here. Come on, Hill to Red. Hey, we're going to do it again. Hey, it'll be all right. That religion will be all right. Come on, Hill to Red. No. I got saved. It makes a difference in our life that with the priorities and that God sets up in our life. Hey, you don't have to know Bible verses. You don't have to know from one end of this Bible to another. You only have this one thing. No, I ain't going that way. God saved me. Hey, redeemed me. The Spirit of God lives inside of me. He makes a difference all the way down the road. I met quite a few boys that couldn't even read a word out of this book right here. Live better Christian lives than behind them fences I've seen live among the crowd in the church houses in the free world. Yes, sir. Everybody all right here tonight? I'm saying this thing that God has this thing. He wants to purify our lives. And then that purified is that He knows how to make us pure. It ain't no wondering if God can make me pure. It ain't going to sit around and scratch around if I'm going to make it up ahead and pure. No, God has a redemption power. God has going to work in our lives. I promise. If you're without chastisement, you better mark some things. You're a bastard and none of His. That's a Bible word for you. Walking the edge type people. Scriptural. An illegitimate child. You sitting around thinking you got religion. You got Baptistology. And there's a lot in America that's got just Baptistology. But I'm saying that God wants to make our lives pure. He says on the book of Ezekiel 11:19, and He said, well, I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take a stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. How hard is your heart? Oh, I know you're sitting here on Wednesday night. You got the three service program. A lot of times somebody carrying a hard-hearted person, and God says, I know how to take that hard heart out. And they said, I put a heart in there that has some flesh to it, that's got some life to it, that's got something that makes difference long ways down the road of life. Ephesians 2:10 says, for if we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, it's not my way. He started preparing something the very night that, before I ever got saved, God already started preparing. 5 years when Mr. Barton started beating on my floor. 11 years when Mama started crying out to God. God already started preparation time. He looked down the road. He saw it in 1975, but He also sees today in 2018 what God wants to do with our life. There's no happen chance with God on anything about our lives. If we just give Him ourselves, that's a lot of time we don't know how to do that. It's with a broken and a contrite spirit. There's so many God's children got a haughty spirit. No! I ain't going to do that. No, that ain't me. No, I ain't going to do that. Why not? Well, I don't know how to do that. Really? How to do what? Walk with God? Live for God? Love God? We know how to walk. We know how to talk. We just know how to live. Like Ed said, it's putting Him number one in our life. And that makes all the difference in the world. God can take a little old rooster. For you chicken lovers. I like chicken too.
Mrs. Judy and I go by the chicken house down here quite often. Get us a chicken leg. I like chicken. But I'm saying God knows how to take a chicken, stick him up on the post, and let him sign off to one of his own children and say, hey, I told you, boo. Hey, in the morning before the rooster gets out there and he crows three times, he said, you're going to have already denied me. God can use a rooster. God can prepare a fish. If God can use all those things, won't you make that you got with a tongue that rattles all the time, runs on that Facebook and got all that stuff going on there. He know how to do all that stuff. And you'll say, I can't name that. No, you do what you want to do. And I'm saying to you, what God has a desire for is if He started a process, what the day of your salvation, He started a process. He already had it in line, as He said in Irvin Jeremiah. He said, I've looked to your end down there. He said, I had an expected end for you, and it's nothing but good. We forget that we're His workmanship. His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Verse number 10, he said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. He said, with my whole heart. Barney said, have I sought thee? Oh, let me not wander from thine commandments. I'm wondering, what are you clinging on to? If He's clarified you, and there's ought to be some things in our life that we ought to grab a hold of, and there ought to be some things we ought to grip our hands on, and there ought to be those things that are of Jesus Christ. But I'm afraid that so many of God's children, they grab hold of the world. And they hang on the world and they don't want to turn loose from it. They just like to ride it all the way to the end. You love not the world, neither the things are in the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. I didn't say that, God said it. And I'm wondering what we're clinging on to. There ought to be something from our whole heart. Webster talked this thing about the heart is the chief part, a vital part, the vigorous part of our life. It's the seat of affection. Is that thing of passion? Is that part of us of love, of joy, of grief, of courage, of pleasure? This thing that's inside of us, it ain't the heart thumper down inside of us. I believe it's part of it, but it's the center part of man that makes the difference. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It don't take long to go in the prison house and sit around a little while and talk to them boys in there and them girls. It ain't 5-10 minutes. They don't tell you everything about what's in here. And all of God's children is exactly the same way. Sit down with you just a few minutes about that. And just get a conversation up going and you'll start telling all your heart. It might not be all. You'll probably tell parts you want to, but you'll speak the abundance of your heart. What drives you? What motivates you? What cranks up your tractor? That's what you're talking about. The heart. Jeremiah says it's desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? God knows it. He's the only one that does know your heart. We don't know our own heart. It's wicked. We think we got this thing figured out, but I've seen too many go down the tube because I thought that was men of renown. I thought it was men that would never falter nor fail. Some best friends that I thought would never falter nor fail are out today because of a corrupt heart, a wicked heart.
A half-hearted person is one that God says he despises. Are we like Ananias and Sapphira? Manipulate God. Oh, talk it up good around the church. make it look like, boy, there's the best thing. Hey, I am the best thing from peanut butter and jelly. We better watch our heart. We better let this Bible be that part that diagnoses us, divides us out, that does that work inside of us. Let this book right here be an x-ray to give us understanding in our heart, and that we'll have a knowing that what we are, if we're half-hearted or are we wholehearted, or what kind of heart do we have? Psalm 57 said you ought to have a fixed heart. David says, I fix my heart. I'm sick and tired of going down that way. Fix my heart. Think about that kid last Thursday evening down in the detention center. Bad week. I mean, it was a rough week. And boys was about the worst you could ever see. But I'm glad that God knows exactly what He's doing. There was more going on in the classroom than we can ever imagine. And the boys that came out for service, we had one on Tuesday night, we had two on Wednesday night, had one on Thursday night to come out to the services. Well, that's all that came out. Invitation was given in all the services, those classes we had. Y'all boys, come on out. We got some books and we got some Bibles to give to you. We want you to come on out. And the boys that came out was the most unlikeliest ones that we would have picked out of the classroom that came out to the service. But none got saved on Tuesday night and Wednesday night. We sat there and this one that came out, he said, I got 30 minutes. He said, I got some folks coming to visit me tonight. I got 30 minutes. They're going to come and get me. But I come because this is the very first time I've ever been in any religious service. And he sat there and he heard the gospel given to him by a pastor there. He went through the gospel and gave his own testimony how God had saved him, and he laid the scriptures out there how he repented and how he turned to God because how he sat in the service and how he heard truth and how God started pricking his heart and it made difference in him how he gave his life to Christ. And I got up just for a few minutes and started giving my testimony, giving him some Bible verses, and he had to go. Before he went over to the table over there and asked Brother Larry Key, says, I didn't want a Bible to come in here, but I'll take a Bible. Boy, Larry laid them Bible out there and gave me some booklets and stuff, and he said, read these booklets right here. It'll help you have an understanding. I don't know whether the young man will ever get saved or not, but he's been strung out on cocaine and drugs for most of his life. They said he's been out of that facility there for about 15 times. He just got out a month ago and he's already back. But he came. But there's a young man sitting in class and he would answer questions. He would make comments. I mean, he was sat there as polite and making nice comments. He never disrupted the class at all. He never come to one service. And we was packing our stuff up, fixing to leave. And before we got out, in the room was sitting beside us there, he come, and the officer led him in. He said, hey, I'm sick and tired. I tell you, I'm sick and tired of my past. I'm sick and tired of what's going on in my life. I said, I'm just sick and tired. Well, that's where you want to get everybody. To the place of being sick and tired, of being sick and tired, of sick and tired of a lifestyle, of life, of misery, of heartache, of just something worn in your mind. That young man worn in his mind. But he came to that place to get his heart fixed. One. That's worth every mile driven to see one. See God make a change inside of a person that God had been dealing with, and then set in that place. I didn't know what God was doing, but God knew what He was doing. What are we clinging on concerning our salvation? What Bible verses do you cling on concerning your salvation? Mr. Beal on that football field marked a Bible verse and he read it to me out there on that football field. It seemed like the Holy Ghost just anchored that thing down in my soul, just got, drove that spike right down in there. John 5 and verse number 24. Oh, we know sometime about the cross and about Jesus. But I'm saying there ought to be something in our life, an anchor of Scripture, that God comes over and He nails something down in your soul right there, and you never back off of it because the Holy Ghost never put a nail down in your life. I wonder sometimes if we have this in our personal life, and you'll hear see people say, "Well, I don't know the time nor the day, but I remember saying that's great. I'm glad you was there." But there ought to be something about what God said in that moment of time that you called upon His name. You might not could have read no Bible verses, but there'd been somebody put something nailing down in your soul right there. You got an anchor for the soul. Wishy-washy Christians today, living half lives, halfway lives. I'm talking about our salvation or be sealed, or be something we cling on to. And it ought to be that clinging that we have Bible that we cling on for our salvation. We ought to be that about our sanctification. There ought to be that God started something. And I remember when God started on this filthy piece of flesh I lived in. A corrupt mind. Mr. Bartley taught a Sunday school class, and he said this phrase in Sunday school class. It wasn't long after I got saved. He read across Romans 12:1-2. He said, "You need to underline that in your Bible." I underlined it in my Bible. But he didn't stop there. He said, "You just go ahead and memorize that Bible verse. That's what you need to do. You need to memorize it." And I didn't know how to memorize, do none of that stuff. Mr. Bartlett helped me. He said, "You need to write it down." And this is exactly what I done. I wrote it down on 3x5 cards, and I got a bunch of 3x5 cards putting Bible verses in my pocket, and I carried it to work. I couldn't pull my Bible out, but I pulled my 3x5 cards out, and I memorized Romans 12:1-2, my very first sanctification scripture. Sanctification. I wanted to be different from that crowd in that place I worked with. I wanted to have something in my life different than that drinking and blaspheming crowd, that whoremongering crowd. I wanted to show something different than that crowd in there. Besides them saying I had religion. I got a good dose of salvation, and God started working in me, and I memorized those Bible verses, and I had to present my body, that living sacrifice, and that presenting it to Him. I didn't know how to do that, but I kept saying, "God," I said, "Here I am, Lord." And it'll be that every day that we give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ fresh, fresh, fresh. Every morning. I understand what Paul said. He said, "I'm crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live." That ought to be that part every morning. Getting up and getting this Bible here and crucify this rotten mess we live in here. Said, "God, here is my body. I don't know what to do with it today, but God, here I am." I present it to Him every morning. I said, "God, clean it up. Let me get a good bath this morning. I'll need nothing tonight." He said, "But God, I won't be clean today. Then I don't smell like the world. I don't talk like the world. I want to walk like the world." There will be that clinging to that part of our life that we have a cling to something. Hey, I want my life pure and separated for God. There will be something we cling to. We have a desire for wholeheartedly, not half-hearted living. Start wanting to dress like the world. Yeah. That's the church. Dress like it.
Get your hair cut like it. Some of them can't help the way your hair is cut. It's a natural. God gave it to you, so rejoice in it. Old guy says, ain't but just a few heads he made perfect. The rest of you put hair on it. But you want to look like the world. Why? Why do we like to get the fashions of the world? Why? It's what you're clinging to. Clinging. You remember Lot, don't you?
Y'all remember that boy named Lot in the Bible, don't you? I mean, he come that time, he walked with Abraham. And Abraham, he went with Abraham and he watched his uncle Abraham. Uncle Abraham built altars everywhere he went. Everywhere. That little boy Lot stood on the side of the river, he watched Abraham. Built those sacrifices, set up those sacrifices, and worshiped God. But when it comes to time of separation and time to bow down, that's when young people better have an understanding about this. That the world looks at us and they can't see not one bit of difference.
Just like the two deacons up at Mama's church up there where they used to go. Bellied up to the bar over the VFW. Drinking their liquor every on Friday and Saturday night. Big deacons up at that Baptist church. Yeah. Go up to the church now and see where it's at. Go ahead, go up there. They play in the worldly music. They're using the world's Bible. I'm saying to you and I, there ought to be something in our life that we ought to have this thing of sanctification and ought to be that part of us that we want God to clean us up. Not to be a judgmental nobody. Jesus never talked derogatory toward no sinner. He was always with a compassionate heart. He went to where they were at and he brought them out, the harlots, the whores, the whole crap. I just tore it up. And he wanted to make a difference in their lives. He did. God made a difference in your life. He wants to make a difference in everybody else's life. And it ought to be that our clinging. We're not clinging to this world. We ought to have a big clinging to the salvation, to our sanctification, to our service that God has placed us in. Clinging to it. God don't change His mind in a place of service like some people think He changes His mind about. I believe God. I feel God's done with me here. Well, gag a maggot on the gut wagon. Feel?
I felt God was done with us in that facility down there. I didn't feel like I could be able to accomplish one thing in that facility down there. I felt like in my soul right here, oh, no pressure in there. But God had something going on every time and bringing one sinner out, walking down and saying, I felt it was good enough to go far right here. I just believe I'll go back and do it again.
Because God is able. And it'll be that in our lives. The thing that God has a desire for is that in our preparation is that He wants to clarify us. He wants to clean us up and make us differently. But He also wants to make Him Lord of our life. Look at verse number 12 and 13. He said, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all thy judgment with my mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, and as much as in all riches. There ought to be something that we ought to crown Him in our personal life. Have you placed Jesus Christ in His rightful place? I wonder about a lot of people who never live their life and they're hanging on everything around there. They have never let Jesus Christ be Lord in their life. That's the reason why you don't get up and pray. That's the reason why you don't get up and read your Bible. You two hustle bustle in this old world right here, and you got too much to do to put Jesus Lord in your life. Place Him there. Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters. For either will he hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Put Him in His rightful place. Promote Him in His due royalty that He has. He said, I will bless Him with my lips. That is putting Him as royalty. That is bowing before Him as royalty in our life. Do we do that? Place Him in His right place. I think that my crowning in our personal life is also is participating in the learning that He said. He said, with my lips have I declared all thy judgments of thy mouth. He said in verse number 12, He said, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. There ought to be this learning process in our life. Do we have a desire to learn from the Lord? Learning. I'm not too much on this higher education today. I've seen what some of these cemeteries have done to a lot of men across our nation. Buried good men. Are you listening to me? I'm grateful for a Sunday school teacher that caused me to start digging in my Bible and reading it for myself. And Miss Judy teaching me how to do it. I'm grateful for Brother Whiteheart. He was one that I was right after I come out of the Southern Baptist Church and went over to Gospel Land over there. He was the man that started helping me to look at how he preached and laid out his messages there. Then I could, as a dumb boy, could sit down there and write those things out and wrote those outlines out for me. That he preached to me, not for me to go somewhere else. I wasn't going nowhere else, but he preached to me that I might have this life right here to learn what that Bible had to say for me. That's what I don't understand about a lot of people. They come and look around and see who here and who ain't here and they kind of disturb out there. Did you come to church tonight just for you, that God can speak to your heart just to you? Then that's good for coming. It's a right motive to come to the house of God, that you're coming here with your heart open and say, God, speak to me. It made no difference who was speaking tonight. It ought to be that the Bible is opened up, and it started its explanation in that thing. Scriptures are being read. Holy Ghost is being moved. It ought to be that, God, speak to me. Purify my heart. Teach me, oh God. Lead me to thy truth, Psalm 25:5. Teach me, for thou art God, and my salvation, and on thee do I wait all the day long. Psalm 27:11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Psalm 86:11 says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." There's a lot of people today that have no fear of God. Just because of the way we are. We've generated that in our nation. There's no fear of God. There's no fear of the police, are there, Mark? You know why there's no fear of the police? Because there's no fear of God. You know why they come on our compound here and parking lot out here and went over the saws on them, cut the mufflers out from under our vans out here? Do you know why they would do that? No fear of God. You know why they're breaking in churches all across the nation up here, shooting people down? There's no fear of God. And the world says that there's no God, and because they're looking at God's people, and God's people are living like they are no God. Oh, you show up on Sunday, you show up in the service time, but they see us more outside up there than they do see your cars parked in the parking lot, and they watch you. They thought you named the name of Jesus Christ, and they listen to the foul language. They listen to your dirty joke. They listen to the way you dress. They watch you day and night, and they said, "You don't know God. They ain't no God." There'll be something in our lives we or start participating. And that's a 24/7. You ought to wake up sometimes in the middle of the night. You ought to let God just kind of give you one of them elbows in the rib cage. That whenever you get old, there's a lot more hurt in the rib cages right there. You understand that? And you get up and you wake up and you can't go back to sleep. Miss Judy lays there and tumbles and tosses. She said this time and time again. She said, "I just feel like I just need to get up, go spend time with God." You do that? Do you ever get up in the middle of the night and just go spend some time with God? Don't go down and turn no TV on. No, just go grab hold of the book of Psalms, just start rejoicing a little bit and just spend some time with God. Rejoice in Him. Sounding in what you are taught. Verse number 13, "I would declare all that you say." 2 Timothy 2:2, "And to the things that thou hast heard and seen among me, among the many witnesses, same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." There ought to be some resounding out of our lives, out of our voices, out of our living, that what we've learned in our life ought to be coming back out, rejoicing everywhere we go, making difference in people's lives. Proclaiming Lord, I better hurry up here, to proclaim Him as the Lordship of our life. Psalm 73:28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. Psalm 40 in verse number 10 said, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness to and thy salvation in all thy loving kindness and truth from the great congregation. Psalm 71:17 said, O Lord, thou hast taught me from my youth, and herein have I declared all thy wondrous works. Why don't we just go ahead and declare Him? Declare Him Lord of our life. Verse number 14 through verse number 16. I have rejoiced in thy ways, of thy testimony, as much as in all thy riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will declare I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word. There are some cause and effect that if we are obedient to what God says, there's a cause and effect that we'll start doing. What does he say there in verse number 14? Rejoice. I wonder why you come to church and you look like y'all been sucking on lemons. Bless me if you can. I'm tired, preacher. I understand the body being tired, but they can be a little bit of scotch on the side over there saying, "Hey, I got a grin on the inside. There ought to be some rejoicing down in our soul. There will be some joy in Psalm 32, 11 says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. You will rejoice because he has directed us in his way. We will rejoice because he's directed us in his word. We will rejoice because he has directed us in the wealth of him. I just have everything God has for us. Cause, verse number 15 says, I will meditate in thy precepts and I have respect unto thy ways. We ought to have a cause and effect right there. Have respect unto the ways of God. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let the Lord be magnified. Lord, have respect for his person. Lord, have respect for his precepts. Lord, have respect for his presence as we hide him in my heart, making a difference in our life. Lord, have a cause. In fact, in the very last word, I will delight myself in thy statute. I will not forget thy word. There ought to be some remembrance in our life of how good God's been to us. Do you remember? Let's remember him. He's preparing us for something. Let's not forget his ways. Let's don't forget his word. Let's don't forget his wisdom. Not the wisdom of this world. I'm glad I can have the wisdom of God. And they all buried in the pages of this book right here in the words of God. The wisdom of God. Precepts of God. Making life worth living. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Father, thank you.